Well, here we are today with two of my dear friends who are now working in Spain. They were actually born in Brazil, received a lot of their training in Brazil, then were trained at Capitol Hill, and now have gone off to Barcelona. It's Igor and Elian Ramos, and like I said, they're currently working in Barcelona, and we're going to talk to them today about just what the Lord's doing over there. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Now, tell me, how long have you been in Spain?
Now it's 7 months. I've been there for seven months.
And you're working in Barcelona, right?
In Barcelona, in the Iglesia Evangelica de la Gracia.
Okay. And who's working with you? Who are the elders there?
The Pastor David Barceló and Pastor Jairo Shaur Samuel Barceló.
Now, before we get started, you kind of have a long history in Spain, even though you're from Brazil. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about how you were in Brazil, you became a soccer player, you went to Spain. How is all that?
Oh, yeah. Well, being a soccer player was my dream. And I was playing for Grêmio and Internacional in Porto Alegre. And I received the opportunity to play in Spain for Real Mallorca. And I got in Mallorca, Spain in 2005. And
2005,
yes. And I was playing there for 2 years. And I come back to Brazil.
We got married.
Now, did you meet in Brazil or in Spain?
In Brazil. I met Elian in Brazil. And in 4 months, we got married.
So fast.
Yes, I don't recommend this, but I got married in 4 months.
And it worked out.
And it worked out.
Praise
and
God.
Just praise God. And yes, I was, we come back to Spain, and I have to work at the Peak Orange, too, during the day, and at night I was playing soccer.
So you played football at night,
football,
and you picked oranges during the day.
Picked orange during the day, and that was the way that God turned me. Was working in my life just to see His grace, and He's working to be a man, you know,
a humble man.
So it wasn't quite as glamorous being a football
player. Exactly. This was the best way. Stay alone with some trees and some oranges, and yes, that was a good idea for me, and and that's why I was just saying, God saved me just a month before we married.
Yeah.
And after we married, 1 month before.
In 2007.
And we will come back. We went to Spain in 2008 and starting to play again.
To play soccer
until God sent me a big truck.
God sent you a big truck.
A big truck to crash me.
An accident.
And I spent 9 months just to recover. And Elian was telling me, Igor, maybe you have to stop to play soccer. And God wants that you do another things. And I was, no, I would like to play soccer. God created me to play soccer. And I will play soccer. But I started after 9 months before after I started to play, I broke my hands my first game.
Wow!
After 2 months, I broke my feet, and Elian say, "Stop that! He will kill you."
God's trying to talk to you.
Yeah, God is going to kill you if you don't stop.
You have to stop, and then God will kill you. And then just praise God, and that Elian was saving by looking at your sermon.
So you were in Spain, and you were looking on the internet and saw some sermons, and you were saved.
Yeah, and God, because we used to attend an unhealthy church, unfortunately, and I thought that I was a Christian, and in that time, our marriage was going through difficult times because Igor was a soccer player and he couldn't play anymore. He was very weak. His healthy, was weak,
a
his body. And I was very confused. Why God permit that my husband in this situation? Where is God? Where is God? No, is he good? Is really, does he really exist? So many, many confusions in my life that I believe that yes, God exists. And I made a decision 5 years before we got married in Brazil. But I didn't know God. I didn't know his word. What is the gospel? Why Christ died at the cross? So I was very confused, and I just got my computer and put in internet some. I need listen. What is the law, the God? Because I was reading the Bible and I just didn't understand. I feel like I was so far from God. Mm-hmm. And our church that we used to attend in Spain, at a little church, doesn't have a good doctrine as well. And I just start to listen sermons, and I listen your sermon about Matthew 7, mm-hmm. you know, and the false teachers, and I just, God opened my eyes through his word. And I say, oh gosh, I need to run to Christ and ask forgive me, because I'm not a Christian. I never heard this good news before. I just hear that God is good, that he has a wonderful purpose for your life, and you are going to be happy all the time. So God saved me, and then Igor just...
We just realized that we were spend our lives just for ourselves.
Not for
my glory. I was looking for my glory and just be a good player. And when God saved her, and we just was realized that we were created to glorify God, mm-hmm. and to help other people to know God, and to praise God, and to live for his glory. No, and then that's why we need to move this place and know better the gospel, the Bible, because I need to tell the people, hey, God exists, and you need to come and be his son by Jesus Christ. No, and that was not by the soccer play. It's because
right.
preaching the gospel.
Right. Even though I'm sure God does have men who are Christians and soccer players,
yeah.
but for you, he wanted something else, didn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so you ended up going to Peru, and then from Peru, you went to Brazil to
mm-hmm.
train, right?
Exactly. It was a great time, great church and great seminar. They were just training me.
What church did you go to in Brazil?
The church is in...
Iglesia de la Gracia. It's mm-hmm. Igreja Batista da Graça.
Mm-hmm.
It's and Grace Church.
And then you studied there for...
3 years.
3 years. And what a lot of people don't know is there's a lot of confusion in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
theological confusion, but there are also some very good men and women, very good churches in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
very strong. And so you went from there... you ended up going to do an internship, right?
Right.
At Capitol Hill with Mark Devers.
Exactly. Yeah, this was, I think, the seminary in Brazil was very, very good, very strong seminars, but I was need just to learn more about ecclesiology,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I received this invitation from Mark to just learning more about what it means be a church or help a church
mm-hmm.
be a church. And it's not just know some doctrines or
mm-hmm.
some theology's truths. I need to be a pastor, a humble pastor, in doing my job just humbly and faithful.
Being
and that's
faithful.
Was, yeah, that's why in Capitol Hill I went there just to learn this reading, writing and talking inside the church.
So how many books did they make you read?
Well, in 5 months I read 72 books.
72 books.
72
books. That's a lot of books. And lot. Not little books.
Yeah.
Big books.
Maybe 200 pages per day.
You had to read 200?
I had to read 200 or 170 pages per
and,
day.
And how much did you read? I mean, write.
Yes, I have to write in between 3 and 5 pages per day. And then was a challenge for me because I just learned in English in 6 months before the invention.
Yes,
with
us.
And yeah. Praise God because I was learning here in English, but
and
yeah,
that's really hard because you learned English from a bunch of hillbillies, and then you had to go to Washington D.C. and actually write papers.
Exactly, and that's yeah.
And after discuss, after in the end of the day,
yeah, you know, I was like a baby between the guys, and they say, "Oh, you have to speak," and I just was listening to you.
Yeah,
and sometimes was just difficult because for
that
me
that was great.
Yes,
they
God.
You.
That was graceful.
So you guys speak Portuguese, of course, Spanish, and English.
And English. Well, you know, everyone, Portuguese, I speak, I was there for 17 years, and I speak bad Portuguese, and bad English, and bad Spanish, and that is not
no.
Well.
Yeah, it's like me. It's like me, yeah. I understand that. Now, while you were in Brazil also, it seemed to me like you really started growing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened there?
Well, the church, the pastors there they are amazing. Pastor Gilson, he's a really wise man. He's so lovely and kind, and was the first time that I feel like a pastor is taking care of us. And like missionaries in the mission field, sometimes we are a little lonely, and mm-hmm. we need a lot of advice, and we need wise persons around us. And he was one of these wise person that he helped me a lot in my growing in faith, and like a woman to be a pastor's woman and to be a simple woman at the church.
You know, your 3 years there in Brazil, I noticed not only that Igor grew, mm-hmm. like not just knowledge, but mm-hmm. maturity, how
maturity.
To handle what you know
mm-hmm.
and how to share it, share the truth in love. Mm-hmm. But I also noticed how you just seem to become more and more consumed with mm-hmm. being biblical.
Yeah.
Being a biblical. And so I suppose you were surrounded by women and women that also had that desire, and it
yeah.
really rubbed off on you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it was very, very evident. Yeah. I don't know who they are in Brazil, but I praise God for them.
Yeah, the church is amazing church. We yeah. love them so much.
Yeah, yeah. So it's great. 3 years.
Igreja yeah. Batista da Graça, in São José dos Campos, Brazil. Yeah.
Yeah, I think people don't realize, you know, because we're so involved in missions here, they're always asking me, what is the most unreached people group? And I always like to give them an answer that kind of throws them off. I say women. Hmm. And they go, what do you mean? And I said, well, you remember, you know, I think you went into the jungle at times in Peru and stuff, and you go in there, and when you have a conference or preaching, the women are usually not even there because mm-hmm. many of them can't read. And it's like they miss out on everything. And there is such a need for whatever and whoever it was in Brazil that you mm-hmm. received, those ladies in Brazil that really love the Lord and being biblical. Mm-hmm. We need that. We need women who really know the scriptures.
Yes.
And can teach. You know, sometimes I get kind of angry because when men get together, they have a conference on theology or justification or something. And a lot of times women will get together and they're forced to sit there and listen to, I don't know, something like, if the world gives you lemons, learn how to make lemonade. You know, some silly little conference. And women, in order to grow, need all the truth, the same truth that men need.
Exactly.
And I think that's so important. Now you went to Barcelona. How did you decide to go to Barcelona?
Oh, this is a great, great question. Well, my heart, when we were in Barcelona or in Spain, we just think, well, we moved from there just because they didn't have a good church.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Peru because didn't have a good church. And then now we were figure out or just learning and thinking we'd have to help Spain.
Europe.
That's it. Or Europe. Well, you know, God moving me or leave me to Barcelona, to Spain, to learn Spanish. And I don't know why. It was not for soccer because I'm not a soccer player
anymore.
And then now I was realized that Spain need just helping good missionaries and people, believers, just to live. And that was, I was thinking, we need to go, we need to help, and we are in a good church with David and Haido. This is a good, it's not just to give, you know, helping, it because they are helping us as well. And this is what our goal is, just thinking we have to go to Spain, to help people know God.
And that's what, yeah. You know, when you read statistics a lot of times regarding Spain, Italy, France, and South America, including Brazil, you know, the numbers about how many people are Christian. But a lot of times in that is included groups that are very marginal, that are not very doctrinally sound. And also at times it's included Catholicism.
Mm.
And it's hard for Americans to understand just how far away Catholicism is from the true gospel, that you almost guaranteed to never hear a gospel of grace in that context. And also, you know, a lot of people, especially in Europe, in Spain, have rejected Christianity because they think Christianity is Catholicism.
It's the same.
And so it is so hard to explain to them. Mm-hmm. We're talking about two completely different things. And so most of the people that you share the gospel with on the streets, or that they're basically somehow associated with Catholicism.
Yes, yeah, so all the time. They are thinking, I'm a Catholic, but I'm a believer.
That's what they say.
Yes, but I hate believers.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm saying, no, maybe you need to know what it means to be a Christian believer. And this is what I am. We just want to talk about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the people say, no, the Bible, the Catholics, they were almost the same.
And they
need to see your life first to trust in you. And then, now I can talk with you.
Yeah, you have to gain, because they have so much distrust because of Catholicism. You have to really show them you're different with your life.
It's so different than Peru, then you can just stop at the street and everybody will listen.
Yeah, we used to preach in the street and there was crowds everywhere.
In the buses, in the bus, all the time. But now it's so darkness, like we just say, well, we are Christians, and they say, I don't want to know about it. I just don't want to know. And the way that we are trying to evangelize people is going to the same grocery store, the same haircut. Yeah, so it's almost four times that I'm telling the gospel, sharing the gospel with my hairstylist, and she said, "Wow, Eliane, it sounds very nice. What are you telling me? But you know, my parents never say nothing about it. God, like you are telling me, we don't have this culture here. We never heard about God like you are telling me. It's so different." Because they just have the Catholic image that Franco was a dictator. They just use the Bible, the church
to oppress
the people. So they are very against shirts.
It was the first time we got in Barcelona. We went to the grocery store with the Uber, and the guy, we were talking in Spanish, and the guy said, "Were you believers?
Are you believers?"
And then, why? Well, because you are not talking about famous people at the TV. You are just talking about life and things like that. And yes, we are believers. And we are attending that church in Barcelona. And the guy was interesting. Oh, can you talk more about that? But just because he was listening to us, you heard our thoughts. And you said, oh, that's just
a little different. He just realized that we were different in our way to treat one another, to talk with one another. He said, "Are you a believer?" And we say, "Yes." "Are you a believer too?" "No, I'm not." So the people wants to see your life, and I think is God is helping the Europe has many people coming to Christ, and I think is the time that God had to have to us to send us there.
Yeah, I think it's amazing because just about any group, there are really only two religions in the world. Mm-hmm. There's the religion of works and religion of grace. Mm-hmm. And only Christianity is a religion of grace. And when I start talking about grace in the Catholic context, then they start realizing, hold it, this is not the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely not. Mm-hmm. It's all based upon the person of Christ. And, you know, in those areas, you know, people have told me, like when I've been to France and different places or Italy, you know, you can't witness here. And that's not true. You just have to be more patient, and you have to really try to cultivate relationships with people.
Yeah.
And it takes time. And you know, in America, and I think Brazil has this too, you know, we think we're going to put on some big event and a lot of people are going to get saved. Mm-hmm. Fact is, you could put on a big event, no one's going to come.
Exactly.
You know, it's as you go every day, going to the same cafe, talking to the same waiter, going into the same shops.
Yeah.
Exactly. And one thing that I was really pleased about in Barcelona, in the church there, was there were people actually from Spain, from Barcelona, that had been converted. Oftentimes, and I praise God for this, but oftentimes, you know, you'll have a church in Spain or France, but it's filled with expats. It's filled with people from other countries, South Americans, Africans, where the gospel is more prevalent, which is wonderful, wonderful, but the people in Paris aren't being reached, or the people in Barcelona aren't being reached. And I saw this beautiful mixture in Barcelona, of people from Africa, South America, Asia, but also there were actually people from Barcelona.
Catalanes.
This is amazing because, well, they are seeing people. This is the image of Christ's bride. You know, many people, different nations, different language, loving
diversity.
One another, the diversity. Yeah. And the people in Catalonia, they are just realize. If they see more of these, this is God.
Yeah.
This is God. It's powerful.
Yeah. And so this idea of, you know, we're going to reach a certain people group is actually contrary to everything the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that Roman Empire couldn't get over, the love that was among believers. And that, you know, you had all these people groups in the Roman Empire that disliked one another. And they had nothing that held them together. But in the church, you had all these people who normally had animosity toward one another, and they're loving one another. And that really amazed Roman authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, when I was in Barcelona with you guys a few months ago, I was just amazed. I was pleased that there were Africans, Asians, South Americans, other Europeans, but that there were also, you know, people from Barcelona.
It's in
Catalan, and it was just wonderful.
Yes, it's beautiful. One Thursday, I was listening the first time to pray in Catalan. It was, I can understand a little bit, but it was amazing to hear that.
I listen to Catalan, and I can pick up, you know, there's similarities to Spanish, and then all of a sudden, this radical departure, like, what was that?
You know? Yeah, and You know, the church in Barcelona, they are trying to sing some hymns in Catalan.
Yeah.
And just to cultivate the same, we have the same language here.
Because the oldest people, they cannot speak fluently Spanish, just Catalan. So this sister, after service, she was praying. No, in the service in Catalan. It was so beautiful because... Yeah. She was just expressing her heart, and everybody can understand her.
Yeah,
so,
it was a kind of different Catholic.
Yeah.
She was a beautiful woman, believers, praying God and praise God.
Yeah.
It was a lot of very good.
Now, the ministry there, first of all, let's start with you, Elion. What kind of ministry do you have other than taking care of this guy
and feed me?
Yeah, I'm trying to take care of him well. And yes, in the mornings, basically, I'm at home taking care of our home, and which is close to church. It's amazing, live close to church. And in the afternoons, each day I have a girl to disciple him, to
a different girl.
I'm discipling around, I don't know how much, but around 10 to 12.
Girls. Wow.
So I'm trying to spend time with them, just being friends and encourage them to love Christ, to get to know him deeply in the scriptures, love more the word of God, fear God. And it's been amazing experience because one of them are just 19 years old and her mother is not a believer.
Uh-huh.
And she even didn't know how to cook, how to clean. And she's coming to my house and we are doing the tasks together and she's so happy. And
yeah, this is good. They are preparing food for me.
So. you've gained weight there.
She is growing in faith, and she's sharing the gospel with her classmates and roommates, and it's awesome to see how the church, the context of the church, is so important to the youth ladies, the youth guys, because the parents came to us, please help my son, my daughter, because they are not listening to us, no? Because it's so many influence, the world and the flesh, the evil is against the youth generation. We are seeing them being attacked all the time against God in the college, in the school. So it's the way that God is using us to invest in their lives deeply with a lot of love and eager as well with the guys. And that is my job. And I'm so happy. The joy of the Lord is amazing among them. And I'm just very, very happy
now,
to help them.
Would you say that in a way, you know, every time you minister to these girls, it's the result of those women in Brazil that minister to you, right? You're transferring.
Yeah. In the Capitol Hill Baptist Church as well, I've been there 6 months and was a huge impact in my life. The wisdom, that woman's, the love for Christ was impacting. Like, my life was, oh my gosh, I need you more than I can imagine. I need you more. And that's why the culture, the role, that's, or you have to be a feminist, or you have to be a theologian woman. Uh-huh. And no, you have to be a faithful woman believer and love Christ and be faithful and love the church that you are a member and love all the families around you and serve them. That's it.
Now we've heard from Elion. What are you doing? Are you just buying groceries?
Right. And eating.
And
that's it. When I first got in Barcelona, I just tried to know the guys and and give them my life and just say, this is Igor, and I'm a little large, you know, and I like to eat something. And but yes, I'm trying just to raise up new teachers and try to help them to prepare their sermons or and the youth group. I try to raise up like 4 guys. They are preaching very well. They are good teachers. And I'm just trying to help them almost 3 or 5 hours per week, just trying to help them. And when I will preach, I just invited 5 guys to stay with me, and they can help me, like in Saturday morning, just to realize what the text say. They are helping me to prepare my sermon.
So you're helping them learn how to prepare sermons by calling them into your sermon study.
Exactly. And that is my way to discipling them to hey, do you see this, what the text say? How can you apply this in your life? You are a young guy. You are the school. You are the university. How can you apply this text in your life? And then the next day on Sunday, I can just say, oh, this text is good for and apply in this way.
Now, you kind of took over the youth group there, right? And when you started, how many were there?
We were around 10 guys, 10, 12 guys.
And how many now after several months?
We are more than 45 guys.
Some Fridays.
Some Fridays is 45, 50, or 40s. It's amazing to see the youth group just growing and share their lives and share the gospel.
And then you also, you preach there at the church also.
Yes, I preached 3 times.
Yeah.
It was a great time to preach. And
yeah, the problem is you've got David Barceló, and you got Jairo Chao, you've got Samuel, and they're some of my favorite preachers. So I when they ask me to preach, I'm like, no, can I just sit down and listen? Is that the way you
do it? Yeah, I prefer to say, hey, brother, can you preach? I just will stay here and listen to you. That will be better for me. But they are so merciful.
Yeah, they're merciful. That's like when I'm in the Dominican Republic or whatever, and if Suhel Michelin asks me to preach, I say, oh, brother, please
no way.
Let him preach or let Salvador Gomez preach because, oh, my goodness, they have forgotten more than I know. It's really humbling, but
yeah,
it's good.
It is. They are just putting me there just to say, this guy needs help.
You know? Yeah. The last time I was there, I did a question and answer for, I think, 40 pastors from around Spain. And every time they asked a question, I'd look at David first, thinking, you answer first, then I'll follow up.
Yeah. It's like, I'm telling this to the guys. I'm not a perfect. I'm learning every day. And they are just concerned. Sometimes we are thinking, this is to be a pastor, we need to be on a high level. And they are seeing that I'm just a normal guy.
Now, you work with the youth. You also preach. I was there when you preached. Was that your first sermon?
Yeah, it was my first sermon in Spanish. It was
really, really good. And then tell me about this ministry that goes out farther than the church. Mm. That's helping churches and church plants.
Revitalizing.
Yes, it's very good, interesting, because many people are asking help for the Vibers alone. They are listening to their sermons and looking the church is very good church, and they want a good church too. And Pastor Jairo has a good plan. They call Macedonian Project, and was very helpful. Because we are visiting 7 places around Barcelona, and it's a little group. They are growing, just being faithful, preaching the gospel, and they are needing a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And I'm visiting once per month these groups, and just try to help them to study the Bible and be faithful with the Bible. And know what it means be a church in that country and in that situation.
Now, these aren't groups that you really started. They're groups that were getting together but came to all of you for help.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And part of that's because of the preaching presence on the internet, right?
Exactly. That is the YouTube, which is handle is not a word, it's just reaching them and where they are. And they can be a member of our church, and then we should go there and just help. And then like Friday, Saturday, and Sundays,
once
we spend
a month.
Once a month.
Now I notice also like there's something going on in Valencia.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
which is that's 3 hours away by coche, by car,
exactly,
right?
By train.
Yes, yeah. It's a big city. I think it's the
university.
It's a university city.
It's the third largest.
And that's just a good. It's like Apostle Paul went to in the big city.
Yeah.
And then that's why we can, for that group, we can help another's group.
Yeah, that's what Conrad and Bewe and the elders do
in
Africa. They try to reach those major areas and then go out from those major areas.
Exactly. I think Valencia is the best way to just help another areas around Valencia.
I know every time I hear about Valencia, I want to leave Heart Cry and go be a missionary again and help with that church plant there. And then Las Islas, the Canary Islands.
Las Canarias.
What's going on there?
Yeah, it's a small island. It's a beautiful place surrounded by volcanoes. It's so nice and have a little group, about three families, couples, and with their little kids and two young guys.
Two single guys.
And we were there before came, and was a nice time. They need a lot of encouragement because at the island doesn't have any other church, so doesn't have good church. So they are alone.
Yeah, and they need just to see how the pastor lives, how is the life of the pastors and his families.
Why,
you know, how can I was talking with Eliane, and how they need this kind of just not. Give a good sermon.
Yeah,
they need just see people applying these truths of the Bible.
You know, I'm catching in your language a lot of Capitol Hill Baptist Church because you're saying they need to see how the pastors live. They need to be there around them and things like that. That's so good. I mean, yes, absolutely. And then did I see something? I may be wrong, but was David Barceló, was he in Morocco or something? Was something going on just recently or somewhere? Gibraltar or some place?
Gibraltar and Andalusia, yes, and Algeciras.
Okay.
Gibraltar.
He was there preaching.
The conference, Andalusia conference.
And do you know that the missionary from Heart Cry is there in Malaga?
Right.
Yes, and they were together and preaching the gospel.
Have you been down to Malaga?
Malaga, yes, we have been.
You know, that reminded me of a coastal town in Peru. You know, just really beautiful and simple.
Actually, it's the city that Picasso was born.
It's a beautiful city, and we were there.
Very historical.
And we are, our church is helping in Lanzarote. No, there is
Algeciras.
Is just
another small group of our church in Algeciras, Andalusia, Lanzarote, Valencia, Lunel, France. We are just helping.
Talk to me about there's Spanish speaking group in France.
Yeah, they are. Now they were a small group, but now they are a good
church.
They are growing like a good church, and we are just going there once per year just to do some conference or to have fellowship with them.
Now, what about, when I was in Paris preaching a couple of weeks ago, I got invaded by the most wonderful gypsies from Spain. Where were they from and how do you know them? Because I mean, they showed up and it was like the party's begun. They are so wonderful.
They used to attend the Pentecostal church, and now they are being reformed. And actually, they receive a lot of persecution, of persecution for their families, because their culture is so strict.
Right.
The man is the leader, like the woman cannot talk.
The father is...
Yeah.
Is the Lord.
It's the Lord.
But I was amazed. I guess what I was amazed at is just the biblical knowledge and theology of these brothers. I mean, they were really studying the scriptures.
Exactly. They're deep, studying. And, well, we were there. Pastor David was starting to helping that group, and now they are just coming and give a lot of good commenters and just share with us what God is doing there. It's amazing. Praise God. And it's in France and Lunel. This is amazing.
That's well, I was glad to have him. I had someone to talk to in France because my French is not that good. As a matter of fact, it's non-existent.
Welcome the group.
Oh, well, that is amazing. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we bring this to a close?
Yeah, I just asking for the people pray for Barcelona. We need to pray more for Spain. And, you know, many people in Brazil, I'm thinking that in the role, looking at the role, the people say, well, in Africa, they need more the gospel, need more missionaries in Africa. But realize, I think that in Europe, we need too a lot of missionaries in Europe.
Right.
Because
healthy.
We don't have a good church.
Healthy missionaries.
Yeah,
healthy missionaries,
biblical.
You know. Because the people just are thinking, yes, we need in Africa and right. in people in
India,
Asia and in India. But in Europe, it's...
Well, you know, I told someone the other day, I said, there is more light, more gospel light in the jungles of Peru than there is on the major streets of the major cities in Europe.
Exactly.
Far more gospel light.
Exactly.
I mean, I can take you to tribes that are barely literate that have really wonderful works going on, mm-hmm. gospel works. Yet and then another thing I've noticed is that many missionaries have bought into this idea of they've become so culturally sensitive mm-hmm. and clever that they're not carrying out the commands of the Great Commission of intercessory prayer, of preaching the gospel and discipling.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why in Europe, I just need, it's not a place of tourism. It's a place to preach the gospel.
Right.
It's a place to disciple people and be faithful to God.
Yeah.
It's a place that the people are crying out to help.
Right.
You know, when they are rejecting the gospel, it's because they need the gospel. They know.
Right.
They need the gospel.
Right. And there's so, a lot of times I've discovered that in Europe, that if I can have enough time to explain the gospel and Christianity to someone, that they drop their guard. Mm-hmm. Because when I start talking about God, when I start talking about Christ, they automatically assume mm-hmm. that I'm talking about Catholicism. I'm talking out the bondage of works, about all these superstitions and everything. And when they hear, no, I'm not talking about that at all. As a matter of fact, I stand against that. I'm talking about a gospel of grace where God has done the work of redemption and you must rest in Him, believe in Him. Mm-hmm. Then they're surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not about carrying out some religious rite. It's about the transformation of your personal life.
Exactly. It's just to share what Jesus Christ did for us, and they are giving for you free. Just come, believe, and repent
of your sins. They think they need to do something more because they are so worried about their lives. I wanna give nothing to the church. Because they took a lot of us in the past. So they don't believe. Is that easy, the gospel? Just believe? They say, no, but I don't believe in it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I hope that this time with Igor and Elian have been a blessing to you. I know it's been a blessing to me. And please pray, not only for Spain, not only for Barcelona, but pray for all of Europe. It is so in such desperate need for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for missionaries who consider it their chief work to proclaim the gospel, to live out the gospel, and to give themselves to intercessory prayer. Well, God bless you.
Amen.